listening to the Pastor Discussions podcast, a roundtable discussion about doctrine, faith, and the Christian life with John, Corey, Cal, and Tyler. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pastor Discussions podcast. I'm John. I'm joined here with Tyler, Cal, and Corey, and this is a roundtable discussion about all sorts of different stuff, and so you never know what you're going to get. And this afternoon, we are going to be talking about a topic that Cal has brought up. So, Cal, what's the topic today?
All right. This has come up in some other groups I'm in, and so I'll be interested to hear what you guys have to say. And hopefully anybody listening will as well. The topic is this: what, as pastors, is our responsibility to our community that we live in? So the town, the city, the neighborhood, wherever. What is our responsibility to the community where we live and minister as a whole? I'm thinking of communities that I've been in where pastors have been expected to be a part of like a ministerial alliance and do some community things out in the community with groups and different things. What is our responsibility to minister to the community at whole? Do we see ourselves as kind of community chaplains, or are we specifically pastor to a group of people, but we are in a community that we need to minister to? And so those are kind of some of the thoughts that I wanted us to kick around a little bit.
All right. Good question. So let's start with Tyler. What do you think, man? What are your thoughts?
I was hoping one of you guys would start so I could bounce off something. It's kind of a
John didn't start with me because apparently I'm not decisive.
I want to commend you though, John, on your decisiveness in picking one of us.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to model it for my brother here.
Good model for me. Yeah.
So I think, you know, just a couple of thoughts that come to mind initially. One is in terms of like, are we pastors to the whole community? I think I'm assuming all of us would share the conviction that pastoral ministry is a call to pastor a local congregation. I'm not a pastor to the rest of the churchgoers in our community. So I'm certainly not a pastor to the whole community. I think that is that can get down some dangerous roads. I think I understand why that view may be prevalent. I think it's actually a distortion of what pastoral ministry is. When we talk about elders in a local congregation, we have both authority and responsibility. Thinking about Hebrews 13 and talking about those who, obey your leaders, those who kind of have this responsibility over your souls, right? The ones that will give account for your soul. And so I think that that comes with both responsibility for the people we shepherd and reciprocal their obligation to respond to our shepherding. I wouldn't expect someone in the community to have that same obligation to respond to my admonishment, nor would I have expect to have that obligation towards them for their spiritual care. That said, that doesn't mean we are indifferent to our community. I think there's, Jonathan Lehman talks about churches as kingdom outposts. And I think that's a helpful way of kind of thinking of like, we have this community within a community that is living according to the norms of the kingdom of heaven. Living as citizens of heaven, like Paul says, in a manner worthy of the gospel. And so I think in that way, that is meant to engage the community in some measure. And I think we as pastors model that kind of engagement through participation in our community in various ways. So it's not a complete hands off, but it's also not a pastoral relationship in the same way that it is with our people.
So you would say then, just to kind of make a distinction there, you would say that all Christians have a certain degree of responsibility to their community, and your responsibility in the vocation of pastor is no different than the responsibility of every other Christian in your church in the community. And so like your communal involvement would be more as a follower of Jesus going out into a broken world, sharing the gospel, being salt and light, as every Christian is called to do, not as a quote unquote pastor.
Yeah, I would say that with one caveat, and that's as pastors, we're called to model that as well. So like there is a responsibility,
but you're not
more than a normal And, but it's a responsibility to our congregation, not to the people. So it's a responsibility that we have to model how to do that.
But my point is, like, when you go out and do that, you're not functioning as a pastor. You're functioning as a follower of Jesus, a church member. And as a pastor, you're modeling that for other people in the community. So the reason I ask that is because people in the community can tend to think of certain people as community pastors. You know, like you have who was it? The Crusades guy, the guy that did all the Crusades, Billy Graham, was like America's pastor or something like that, as if that was a thing.
And I view that view pastoral ministry that way, have a wrong view of pastoral ministry that doesn't include any responsibility or authority. So the community pastor is the guy who says nice things and prays at the breakfasts and those kind of things. Gotcha. It's a real squishy with pastor that has nothing to do with actual pastoring.
Gotcha. Okay, Corey, what about you?
Well, the one thing that's coming to my mind is because, I mean, I resonate with that completely. So it's really important for me to know who wants me to be their pastor.
Yeah.
Right. Like even if somebody comes to church for, you know, 2 straight years and they're in as soon as the service starts and they're out as soon as it's over. And they might even say, I go to that church. That's my church. But, but they haven't talked with me and I haven't had a chance to talk with them about, you know, am I seen by you as your pastor? Right. Cause I mean, if that's the case, then, we just need to talk. I need to know like what my responsibility is for you. And I want to know you, right. If I'm your pastor, I want to know you and you should want to know at least a little bit about me. Just think about, like in James, it talks about like who is wise and understanding among you, right? And that's all in the context of like not many of you should be teachers, right, brothers? And that leads into the tongue. And from there, it leads into, you know, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom, right? It's like if you're going to accumulate teachers for yourselves, make sure they're teachers that you can observe. Mm. Right. And you can see, do they exhibit wisdom and do they exhibit meekness? And do you know them well enough to, you know, to know that, who is wise and understanding among you? Right. So there's an among you-ness, right, that we have to experience between pastors and their congregation. And, I can't have that with my town. I've got 14,000 people in my town, which is not a big town. But that's too big for me to pastor. And so I can't know them all, right? So that's problematic if I think of myself.
You don't have to know them all, right? Because, I mean, there are churches of 14,000 people. They don't know all their people. That necessarily brings up some implications then for pastoral ministry as a whole. And so what you're saying is that the limitations on pastoral ministry, the responsibilities of pastoral ministry as a whole necessarily exclude you being able to function in that role for the community. Even if there were an opening in the scripture for you to be able to do that, you would be limited by the function of pastor to where that would not be a thing.
Well, I mean, I think if there was a category for that in the scriptures, obviously there'd be a category for how you do it. But kind of where I was going was, you know, similar to what Tyler was saying is like, but just because there are clear lines that are drawn between, you know, like congregations, like and you know, who I should be pastoring, who I'm not the pastor of, that doesn't mean we're indifferent, right? So I think of 2 Timothy 4, which Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist, right? Okay, so I think he's probably talking to Timothy there as a pastor, you know, that as a pastor, you should be doing the work of an evangelist and finding inroads in your community and being outside the church bubble, you know, once in a while and finding ways to, you know, be salt and light in the world. And I think of Ephesians 4 also, right? Equip the saints for the work of ministry. So yeah, so as a pastor, you know, I am distinct from other people in the congregation in this way, but it's in the way of not just modeling, but also helping them do evangelism also.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an equipping responsibility there as well. So it's like, yeah, I want to be really clear about who I'm the pastor of and who I'm not. Like, I'll have people tell me that, hey, you're my pastor. And, you know, I'm like, hey, well, I didn't know that. Like, that's news to me because I haven't seen you in church, like basically ever. And, or you're in another state now. Right. Mm. And so I want to be clear about those lines, but at the same time, I want to do the work of an evangelist. Right. And, so just recently, actually, I found, just God-given opportunity, like Yankton, by the way, is home to the world's largest archery center. I don't know if you guys knew this or not.
I didn't.
But literally the world's largest archery center is in Yankton, South Dakota. There is no other facility in the world like it. And so they let me come and work for them basically when I want to. And so, you know, I'll work short shifts here and there. And it gives me a chance to meet people from the community that I wouldn't normally meet mm-hmm. in church. Right. And so plus they let me and my kids come shoot arrows for free if we want to. So, you know, so it's like, you know, I'm not handing out tracts or anything, but it's like, I'm out there. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the honorable and good things to think of as a pastor, even though I'm not thinking of myself as the pastor of, mm-hmm. you know, that community.
Yeah.
Gotcha. All right, Cal.
Well, yeah. So those are all really good things. I think about this as the example of being sort of a pastor of the community. I think, I was going to make a joke about, you guys kept saying the function. I was going to make a joke about, oh, so you're differentiating the office and the function, but I decided I'd leave that joke alone. Anybody who knows what I'm talking about can laugh along with us silently. But so I was thinking about my pastor growing up. My pastor growing up was probably the most well-known pastor in the community. We were one of the larger churches in the community. It was only a little town, about 4,000 people. He was there for community events and had a very big presence in the community. He actually was, I believe, the school board president at one point, like wanted to affect change, you know, kind of from the inside in the community. So I have some questions about that. But when we were, again, in this small town, you know, when I think about how you serve the community, I think of the evangelism stuff that Corey was talking about, you know, why I like to go to coffee shops, you know, and kind of be a regular at places. I think there's lots of value in that and doing some of your sermon work, sitting amongst the people who you hope to reach, you know. I think there is something to that. I think about funerals and weddings. Now, I have a policy to not do weddings for anybody who's not part of my church or directly connected to me, like a family member or something like that. So I have that policy now that I don't do. But as far as funerals, you know, I think that is a wonderful gospel opportunity to do a funeral for somebody even you don't know in the community. Number one, it's an opportunity for you to share the gospel with some people that you might not ever get a stand in front of. And number two or three or whatever number I'm on now. Sorry, I lost track of my thought there. A really loud truck just drove by and I was really scared the audio was going to come through. I think doing a funeral, that type of thing, it provides you with that opportunity for ministry to those people. It also connects you to that family who's going through that. And it also provides you a way of just, again, I think being present. I think it's good that people in the community know you're a pastor, because inevitably, if somebody has some kind of tragedy or something go on in their life, it's the same reason you want people to come in your building, because then if they come into your building for like a blood drive or whatever, we host blood drives here, then, you know, when they have an issue or they decide they want to go to church, well, they're familiar with your build. They've already been in your building. They're more likely theoretically to come be a part of it. So I kind of think that might be the same case with when you're out in the community. When I was growing up, and we had a lot of teenagers that died in my high school. And then after I left, they would have teenagers who would commit suicide. And the school at that point, I realized times are different now. At that point, the school would have all the local pastors come in and be there for counseling with the kids after, you know, their friend committed suicide or whatever. And so it was really, really helpful in that way. So the question is, sorry, I just saw something in the chat that just distracted me.
Stay on task.
Yeah, yeah, stay on target, stay on target. So those are ways I think that a pastor, I don't want to say you have a responsibility to it per se, but I think it's wise. I think it's wise to be involved in the community in that way. Now, as far as holding political office or running for school board, I mean, I guess that's up to a pastor's individual aptitudes and interests. I don't think he has responsibility to do those things. Necessarily any more than the plumber in your church would have a responsibility towards those things. So I don't know what you guys think about everything I just said. I'm sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought a couple of times there, but
it strikes me as interesting. And I can't remember who said it, but talking about the distinction between function and office, and make a joke about it, but like, it might be actually helpful in this kind of context, because like, you know, kind of what Corey and I were describing was talking a little bit more about the office of pastor versus like, you know, performing funerals being a good example of performing a pastoral function that serves our community, that because of our role vocationally, we are well equipped to perform. Whereas, I don't think, I have to double think here for a sec, but yeah, like we don't have a priestly class model where it's like nobody can, you know, except for a ordained minister can perform a funeral, right? Like anybody can do it. But like Joe Smith off the street might have no idea how to perform a funeral and not want to because of those kind of things. Whereas we have those skills that we can use to serve our community in some unique ways that are not obligations. I think in the same way as our pastoral office obligates us to a particular people.
Did you just invoke Joseph Smith as doing that funeral?
Things are getting weird now.
I would much rather me do the funeral than a guy than Joseph Smith. No offense to anyone whose name is Joe Smith. unless you're the guy that started Mormonism, and then I put offense towards you.
I'm sure that he could preach a killer funeral. No.
Wow. Lost both of our listeners.
Yeah. Both moms are like, nope, that's too much. I'm done.
Too much. You know what, Tyler? That's kind of the line I was actually thinking. I mean, I know I made the joke about the function and all that, but in the office, but I think that's true. There are things that we do as pastors that I think we can perform those functions in the community. As far as, do I have an obligation as a pastor to show up at every community festival? I don't think so necessarily. Again, I think it's wise though to be out there, just like I think it's wise if your town has a parade, it's probably wise to have your church in some way be involved, you know, whether you have a float or you walk in it, or whether you're handing out waters to the people walking in the parade afterwards. I think that's wise, but unless you hate parades, but I think that's wise. I just
All right.
I don't think that's necessarily a responsibility.
Not an obligation, although some may add it and view it as an obligation.
Your church. See, the other thing is your church may mean it is an obligation. And there we get into a whole other thing. If your church has added to scriptural requirements of pastoring because of what they want in their church, if you went to that church, I think you should do those things. Now, you should try to change them if it's not your conviction. But if you went to that church, I think you should try to do those things. I say that having been at churches that wanted me to do things that there's no way I was going to do. But there you go.
So I'm kind of like, I kind of take a different tack on this. And the reason for that is this just and I, okay, so I didn't grow up in evangelical land. I grew up Mormon. And so it's very easy for me to not have emotional attachments to all of these things that a lot of people that grew up in evangelical land have emotional attachments to. And I like that all of this stuff just kind of smacks of marketing to me. Like, you know, like it's just really hard for me to wrap my head around when, like, if I were to take the Bible and I were to lay out like what should this look like? I doubt that Paul had any, would have, if he were in our context, would have had any sort of like, you know, floats in a parade and stuff like this. Like, I think that he would have gone to the marketplace of ideas and he would have preached the gospel. Right. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, so I think if there is a community responsibility that the pastor has, it's to clearly and accurately articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ in the marketplace of ideas within that community, and full stop. Right. Like, I mean, the God's plan for reaching the community, actually, it is not even primarily the pastor. It's the people of God going out and sharing the gospel. And the pastor, as you said, Cal, is there to equip the saints for the work of ministry, not to do the work of ministry for them. And so I look at this and I kind of have a little bit of a different slant on this, because my job is to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. And I agree with you, Tyler, like that needs to be modeled, but it shouldn't be modeled in any way that's really any different from any of the other members of the congregation, because my role and function and office, whatever you want to, however you want to parse that out, of pastor does not negate the fact that I'm first and foremost a member of the congregation and a child of God that's saved by grace through faith and has the same ultimate responsibilities toward the lost that every other Christian has. My additional responsibilities as a pastor, as one called to that office and called to that role of pastor, are actually to the church. And so I kind of view this in kind of really different terms from, it sounds like, maybe it's not as different, but it sounds a little bit different, because my view of a pastor's communal involvement would not be any different than that of a regular churchgoer. And in that, it would be mostly centered around relationships, not big community events and stuff like that. So, give me your take on that. What do you guys think about that? Am I off?
John, would it be fair to say that we will be held accountable for how we model those kind of things in a way that's unique from our people?
Yes.
And how they do those things? Like, I think that's what I'm thinking of when I think of modeling in the community. Yeah. Like, we accountability towards that our people don't have in the same way, but we first and foremost, I think you're right, have that accountability just as churchmen. And I think that hits on one of the hardest things I think about modeling the kind of Christian life in an engagement with our community, is that anything we do, often our people are going to view through the lens of, you're just doing that because you're a pastor. And I think that's why I've really tried to lean in with our non-vocational elders and just say, like, when you do things, it speaks something different than when I do it, because when I do it, people just think it's part of my job.
Yeah.
And it's because I think these are godly Christian things to do. And I'm drawn towards doing these things because the Spirit's at work in my heart. And it's not because I'm getting paid for it, even though it's part of my vocational job. You know, there's no clocking in and out. So I'm like off hours and out in the community visiting with people. It's just, I am, you know, and that can easily be viewed by people in the community and by others as, you're just doing this because you're a pastor. And that's where I think doing it out of a God-given spirit engendered desire to actually love those in your community versus doing it out of a desire, like, I know I've got to be out shaking the trees to try to find more congregants. There's going to be a distinct difference between those two. And I think one is good and one is not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you can tell that too. You can tell when there's a pastor who's out in this community because he loves this community versus I got to be seen. I need
to kiss some babies.
Doing something. Yeah.
It's like very political.
There's a lot of church plants, and they, you know, there's some great church plants that make really big deals about being missional out in the community. And I love it. I think it's awesome. There are some, though, churches and plants, both, not just plants, but churches also, where it looks, it just feels to me, and maybe I'm just too skeptical and jaded. Okay. But sometimes it feels too much like, oh, we're pushing because we want to be given that recognition in the community.
Yeah, but
like, we want to be given that. But
this is the thing that I keep coming back to. What does the church's involvement in the community look like if it is not the people of the church involved in the community? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like
what we tend to think of is we need an outreach program. You know, we need to be involved in this thing. We need to be involved in this thing. Oh, well, none of us have the time to organize that. Pastor, you go organize that. And what I'm saying is, just because a church doesn't appear to be active in the community because they don't have the big you know, York Fest booth, or they don't have their pastor isn't at every ministerial alliance meeting, and nobody's complained about this. I just, York Fest is coming up, so it was on the tip of my tongue. But their pastor's not going and whatever else. The teammates involved in team
basketball
nights.
Game.
And yeah, every basketball match. Game. Every
back to school bash.
Yeah. So that, but like, how do we gauge a church's involvement in the community? That's a big question. And that sort of gets at the fundamental core of this whole discussion, because if we're really going to be honest and biblical, the way that we gauge a church's involvement in the community, yes, modeled by the pastor in the various ways that God has gifted him and wired him and everything else, but it's seen in the church members being in the community, the church members ministering to those that are hurting, and the pastor coming alongside them as they do that and encouraging them as they do that and equipping them as they do that and praying for them as they do that. But in that way, I think that the pastor can actually have much more of an impact on the community if his focus is on his own people and helping them to be the church in the community, than if he's trying to take that responsibility upon himself and trying to fulfill all those roles on his own.
You know, I was thinking about this biblically. What was the early church, the book of Acts, what was their involvement with the community? Well, it was being hunted down by the community and persecuted by the community and put in jail by the community and being stoned by the community, you know. But also I was thinking about what was Jesus's, you know, how did Jesus, I realized Jesus was not a pastor in a church, local church in a community. And he's God. So obviously I don't want to conflate who we are in the story. Right. You know what I mean? You know, how did he react to the community? Well, he spread his message. He taught the crowds. And they did not all believe in him. They were not all part of the church, but he did teach the crowds, and he was out among the people. So I think if we are, and that's not just for pastors, that's also for any Christian, just what you've said, what we've all kind of echoed, they should be doing what Jesus did out among the people. And the things that are, I think the things that are true of, that are supposed to be true of our Christians should maybe, of Christians in our churches, should be even more true of us. Kind of like the, if you look at the pastoral qualifications in the pastoral epistles, like those qualifications, those should be true of every Christian. Like every Christian should be striving to be faithful to their spouse, to only be married to one person, you know, the husband of one wife. Every Christian should be, you know, striving for all of those things. They should be even more true of elders and pastors, mm-hmm. pastor elders. I'm using those interchangeably for those listening, because they're the same. Just in case you questioned what we all thought about that.
Nice plug.
Yeah, there you go. I got it. So I think over the years, there's been a cultural thing that happened. And I think it probably happened with I think it probably happened with, you know, probably in the 60s, 50s, 40s on back in America, evangelicalism, that because the culture was so churched, I won't say Christian, I'll say churched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You had this rise of pastors being community pastors. I don't think Charles Spurgeon spent a lot of time on it. You know what I mean? I don't think he did now get a guy like who was the open air guy? Whitfield.
Whitfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who's out in the open air preaching. Okay. But what he was doing in the community was preaching.
What about the gospel? Edwards and Cotton Mather, and thinking of like early English guys who were, it was a city church, right? Like this is kind of a weird phenomenon with 21st century mass market evangelicalism, where you have, you know, consumer choice, and yeah, we're McDonald's and they're Burger King, and you know, value you want and have it your way, versus this is the church you go to because this is the town you're in, and
this is, you know, the parish you're in.
Yeah. When it was community pastor,
the neighborhood church, you know, kind of thing of like, you might not be the community pastor, but you might be your neighborhood pastor because your church is in the neighborhood, at least back then. Now mm-hmm. people don't walk to church. I'll use our church as an example because it's not too specific, but where our church sits, we have houses all the way around. I don't know anybody that walks here to church.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so maybe if we were, you know, I think that might be a case where we need to be exemplifying sharing the gospel, being a Christian influence more in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I think that could be maybe even a direct application of this. Cause I know what we're talking about is, you know, we can get kind of heady with it, but I think for churches and for pastors who might be listening, what do you do about it? You know? So when your elders, your deacons, or your old lady in the pew comes and says, now, our last pastor, he was kind of considered the community pastor. In fact, he still does more funerals here than any other pastor in town. You know, there's a pastor in a town over from me. He still does the most funerals, and he's retired. And part of that is a lot of those people are his age. But so mm-hmm. the question is, though, everybody knew him as he pastored the big church there. A lot of people, they were, you know, what Corey was saying earlier, they go to his church, but they mm-hmm. don't really go to his church, you know. But so what are some ways that we can like kind of directly put legs on that and do something about it when confronted with that temptation to be too involved, or that push of people to, you know, you need to be out there more.
I've had that. And full disclosure, I'm not naturally an extrovert. I like a small group of people and having a few friends, and I'm not good with names. I mean, I sometimes am overwhelmed by, just the congregation that we have here and keeping up with that. And I've had that because I don't, and this would not be different if I was not a pastor. I'm not a huge sports person, so I don't like enjoy going to football games and baseball games. I'd rather read mm-hmm. on a Friday evening than go watch a subpar group of high school students throwing a football back and forth. And it goes for like professional sports too, with exception of baseball, because you can do other stuff while you're watching baseball. But anyway, that aside, right? So that's my personality. And I've had people come up to me and ask me that. And my answer has always been, shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising mm-hmm. oversight. I'm responsible for to shepherd the flock that I am among. And I am among those that are part of our church, right? Like, this is not me going out to shepherd everybody in the community. This is not me going out to shepherd the lost, because you can't shepherd the lost because they're not sheep. Or at least we don't know if they're sheep or not. And so my response has always just kind of just been, yeah, you're right, I don't. And I'm not responsible to do that. That's not my role as a shepherd. My role as a shepherd is to shepherd the flock that is among that the Holy Spirit has entrusted me as an overseer of in Acts chapter 19, or chapter 20, when Paul leaves the Ephesian elders and he says, shepherd the flock that is among you, that the Holy Spirit has made you overseers of. So if I'm going to spend my emotional and relational energy in shepherding, it's going to be on the people that God has entrusted to me and that I know he's entrusted to me. It's not going to be in a community setting. And so I kind of don't have a problem with just saying that outright and confronting that. And I understand that there are different expectations and that other pastor, yeah, he did that and he's not me. He had different gifts. He had different strengths and I'm weak in some of those areas. And I realize that, but that's something that is just, it's a reality. And so I've kind of just hit it head on, if that makes sense.
That's good. That's good. What about the rest of you guys?
I think there's a lot of wisdom if people have great ideas for the church evangelistically to make sure people feel like you, that, like they've got your support, but yeah, you're not going to do it for them, you know? And so, you know, I can think of one wife's pastor when I've had ideas has said, great, give me a plan and send it to me. And I'll let you know, how I can support you, you know, in your plan. And mm-hmm. just kind of helping them feel like not only responsible to be doing the work of evangelists, but also feel like they've got your support.
Yeah. So, I think that, try not to get out of my soapbox again. But I think that the morphing of the American evangelical church into a consumer model and a business that we have to keep afloat,
yeah,
puts pressure on pastors to do more than their actual biblical required roles. And to do that, like, and not even like they're bad things. Like, I don't think, you know, efforts at community engagement and marketing as, you know, I think we put too much trust in, but it can be, but it can cause us to neglect the actual necessary things. And I think it often does. And I think you have, you know, the pastor turned CEO and all that is just a terrible thing. And so I have no problem being like that, dude, that's not my job. I haven't been in churches that have put that pressure on me. So, you know, I would hope that I would have the same integrity in a church that does put that pressure on me as I do in a church that really, like, I feel like Sojourners well understands the role of a pastor. And I'm grateful for that. It's a gift. But like all of these silly things, are just bear so little fruit. And what little fruit they do bear is really transitory. Compared to the kind of fruit that's born by just long, faithful slogging of word and prayer and sacraments and the corporate gathering of the believers week in and week out. Like, that's the real stuff that's happening. And I think, you know, we just got done studying through Daniel, and we're starting Revelation and Wednesday nights and just started into it. But like, one of the things that really struck me about Daniel and strikes me about Revelation too is just the rolling back of the curtain of what's actually happening in reality versus everything we see. So, you know, the raging of the nations and the all the busy work of trying to do all this stuff and making your church grow and whatever. And then you have the back, what's actually happening in the background, the real spiritual work that we as pastors are called to faithfully see and try to help our people see. And I think all of this, like, should I go to every community event, or if I don't go to this, so-and-so is going to be offended. And if I do, is really, can be really distracting from that.
I agree. It could wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that there's a, I think that there's also this extends a little bit into how we shepherd our congregations too. Because there are times when we are put on a unrealistic, or when we have unrealistic expectations put on us. And like Tyler was saying, like being willing to confront that or disappoint those people, I think is a huge thing, for the overall health of and longevity of ministry. Because early on we had a family leave the church because I didn't comment on their Facebook posts. I'm like, all right, there's an algorithm, man. Like, I haven't even seen your Facebook posts, much less like commented on them. And that seems like ridiculous and petty. And at the time, this was early on when I was here, I was really tempted to like, oh man, I need to start a Facebook ministry, like period of time in my work week where I just go online and comment on people's Facebook posts so they know I care about them. And then I had this moment of lucidity and sanity. And I was like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever come up with in my life. That is such a waste of time. That's not actually doing ministry. That's not actually helping people like that. So then it made me think about like, how do I use Facebook and I'm now off Facebook, full disclosure, because it's a pestilence. But like for a season, it was like, okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to use Facebook to just keep track on what's going on in people's life. And if there's something I need to engage with, I'm going to give them a call, or I'm going to write them a letter, or I'm going to get with them personally. But there is all sorts of stuff, like if we're not careful, that I'm convinced that Satan wants us to be so busy and so captured by all of these little demands that we neglect the really important things that Tyler said, which is, you know, the sacrament and the word and prayer. Like if we look at what we're called to as pastors, that like it's not good for us to neglect the word and prayer. So we're going to get people to serve tables, right? Like, I mean, we've somewhere along the line left that and forgotten that. This is my soapbox. We've somewhere along the line forgotten that. And we've let all of the Hellenistic widows determine what our ministry looks like and where our time is spent. And that to me is that's a blow against the kingdom, because a praying pastor is more powerful and more potent than a pastor that's at every community event and at every graduation ceremony and at every individual little thing. Now, I'm not saying those two are mutually exclusive, but what I am saying is that I think that there needs to be a guarding of time and a prioritization where you're willing to let things, even within the church, slip to the wayside and not be on your agenda, not because they're unimportant, but because other things are more important.
I think if I could add to that too, John, I think those convictions are super important to have. And I just want to say too, just in case, especially there's any young new pastors listening, have those deep convictions and then go to a little Susie's soccer game. Don't like the first time someone asks you to do something that's outside of the bounds of what ministry is, be like, that's not my job. So don't be an idiot, but apply these things with wisdom and grace.
You'll have time to become jaded. Don't worry.
All right. So any other thoughts, any other closing points?
You know, one thing that comes to mind, I think, when a community, just real quick, and this is probably a justified episode of its own, but I was thinking about obligations, when it comes to the community, and I don't know if I would call it an obligation, but I would say that it's wise and even really encouraging to make sure, if possible, you have some like-minded ministry friends in your community, if you can, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to agree with everything about the way they do children's ministry or who they baptize or anything like that necessarily. But, you know, having some good relationships with other ministry friends in your community, it can go a long way towards keeping you sane in your town and in your church and in your ministry. So
I co-sign that comment.
Yeah. Or in a close neighboring community. Because you, Corey, when you were living here, we would get together regularly. And it is a 15 minute drive, different communities, but we would regularly get together.
Yeah. 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 Actually, I was the one who left John's church because he wouldn't comment on my Facebook posts. And,
how dare you, John? How dare you?
Who the heck do you think you are?
It's how I came to Christ, actually. So, not really.
On a Facebook post?
No, because I got rebuked, you know, by John for leaving his. No, anyway. So, but no, we would get together a lot, and it was honestly like, you know, it was like a huge like lifeline for ministry energy and encouragement.
So, it kept us both sane.
Yeah,
Corey, and it's kind of related to this, and might make a good another topic another time. But just thinking about ecumenicalism within the community. Mm-hmm. You know, so like we have a group of pastors that I get together with, that I'm the only complementarian. They're all egalitarian. Mm-hmm. That's something we can look past for getting together. Others with, you know, there's other churches within the community that, in my estimation, have really abandoned the gospel, mm-hmm. Large measure through embrace of LGBTQ and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's really, we're talking about a different gospel. So it's difficult to know where to draw those lines. And if you draw them too tight, when you live in a small community, you're going to be all alone. And I think the benefit, you know, I've appreciated the benefit of having people come check out Sojourners. It's not the church for them. And they're going to check out another church. And I can say with confidence, yeah, I know the pastor there. He's a real good guy. It's a good church. Yeah. You know, go check it out. It'd be great. And I think being able to do that in the community is really important to help show that you actually care about the community and you're not just a city on a hill all by yourself with no one to see.
Absolutely. Any other thoughts, Cal?
No, I think we've exhausted this one pretty good. In the end, you know, I guess I'll just say, pastor, preach the gospel. And equip your people to serve other people. I mean, equip them to do ministry. Now, most of our churches, a lot of our churches, the people aren't out. They're doing the ministry. And so a lot of that ends up falling to the pastor. But try not to get the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. That's a quick way to burn yourself out, too.
Yeah.
That's all I'll say about that.
That's good. Cool. So we'll call it a wrap for this one, and then we'll be back here in a couple weeks with another episode of Pastor Discussions Podcast.